About 15 years ago, which I realized I was thinking about this story, like once you hit 40, like the fact that stuff in your 20s is beyond a decade ago is really just terrifying and sad. So anyways, about 15 years ago, there was one of those really warm spring days, you know, like it's been a long winter, and I was at work all day, and I looked out, and it was just like one of those bright, sunny, like perfect days, and I was like, you know what? Today, I'm gonna exercise. I'm gonna go outside and run. And this happens about every spring. I'm like, I'm gonna start running outside. And then I do it once. I'm like, that was stupid. So anyways, I was looking out my window all day. I was like, I can't get home. I can't wait to get home and just exercise. Like, I'm gonna run. I'm gonna feel good. I'm gonna get a sweat on. And then I might eat a salad. I don't even know what's gonna happen. It's spring. Like, it's new. Life is starting again. So anyways, I get home, I put on the running shoes, and I just start going. You know, I'm just jogging. I go into another neighborhood. It's like that Chariots of Fire song is like going. I'm like, you know, my chest is out. I'm feeling great. I'm like, I'm an athlete. I'm an exerciser. Like, this is great. I'm one of those guys right now. And then I got a little lost, and I didn't know where I was. And like, all of a sudden, it was like out of nowhere. Like, I just hit this like wall internally, where I was like, I was feeling confident, I was got a great rhythm going, and then it was just like, where am I? My legs hurt. I've got air conditioning at home. It's hot out here. Like, I have a couch. Like, the couch has never hurt my feet before. Like, there are chips present at home. Why am I out here? I don't even know where I am. And like, all of a sudden, like, my whole cadence and posture just went to like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I was like, I just want to go home. I was like, Uber didn't exist yet because it was 15 years. I didn't have a cell phone. You know, I didn't know what to do. So I had to find my way home. And it was just a terrible experience. But I was just thinking about, you know how in life, like sometimes this can happen. We're like cruising along. Feels like everything's going great. And then just bam, out of nowhere, like this crisis hits or a big wall kind of comes or we begin to realize something different. We feel confused, kind of lost, unsure where we are. These things can seem to come almost out of nowhere in life. And so that's what we want to look at today as we talk about diving deep, is those experiences in our life that seem to just come out of nowhere, those crisis things, like a wall, if you will, in our life. And then we're going to look at how God helps move us through those walls. So sometime then, between the 15th and 13th centuries BC, a while ago, the nation of Israel had left Egypt. They had come out of bondage of slavery. God had led them out of the land of Egypt, and they've been on this long journey. And they're coming close to the promised land, or the land of Canaan, modern-day Israel. And they had just gotten done with this period of 40 years where they were waiting to be able to enter into this land. And now it's time for Israel to finally claim this land that has been promised to them for so long, that they've been gone from for so long. And so Joshua is the leader following Moses of the nation of Israel, and he leads them now to this oldest nation on earth, the city of Jericho. It was the lowest city on the planet, some 750 feet below sea level. It was a fertile city, well supplied with spring water, and it was referred to as the City of Palms. So it's this beautiful city. It was also a pagan city known for its worship of the moon god. And so Jericho also, in the midst of this, also boasted these fortified walls surrounding them, making it strong against any kind of invasion. So there was an outer wall, and then there was this inner wall. And the city was completely shut, locked down, if you will, as the people of Israel approached. And as they come, this is the word of God to Joshua. God says to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor." So just imagine the scene. Put yourself in the scene, if you can, for a little bit, that the Israelites were on this incredible journey of life, if you will. They came out of bondage of slavery in Egypt. God had finally freed them after years and years and years of oppression. And they've come out, and then they come to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can't cross the sea on dry ground. It's like, boom, yeah, you can. Walk on through the sea. They were directed by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, which is just cool. God provided manna for them on the ground. Like, they didn't have to go to Aldi. Although I do think the manna was Clancy's. I'm not sure. have to follow up on that one. And then when they grumbled about that, they wanted meat, so God sends quail, and they get quail for meat. They were thirsty, so God sends water from a rock. They've been given the Ten Commandments. God spoke to Moses. They give his law for these people, for his people. I mean, just these incredible scenes, time after time after time again. They had just now crossed the Jordan River on dry ground as well. They've been waiting for 40 years, and then here they come up to Jericho, to the promised land. And as they roll up, things are going great. But boom, there's a wall. Can you relate? Can you relate to the nation of Israel? Seems like you've been maybe waiting on something, kind of wandering around maybe for a long time. You think the break is about to come, like now is the time. Now is the time where I'm going to break through. And then there's just this wall, this thing that kind of seems to come out of nowhere in life. And for many of us, this wall can take various forms. Right, it could be a financial wall, like just all of a sudden things just shift and change. It's like, where did that come from? It could be a relational wall. It could be sickness or some kind of other setback. It could be just walking through infertility, just wanting so much for that child, and then here just this wall that seems to be there. Maybe a desire to get married that just continues to go unfulfilled, or maybe a child that walks away from you or seems to walk away from you and from God. Maybe it's your marriage. It's just all of a sudden thought things were good, but now it just finds itself in crisis and tension. Maybe an accident of some sort, just out of nowhere, a car accident or something like that, where you didn't expect, you weren't counting on, and all of a sudden now life is different. Or I think of our, you know, the folks in North Carolina, South Carolina right now with what they're walking through, just this natural disaster out of nowhere, just flooding and all these things having to flee their home, just this crisis type moment. Or could just be for you, maybe just change in general, just life change seems to spring up, or loneliness or something. But here's the thing that we share together, is that likely all of us at some point will come to this, to a, some kind of a wall, and it's going to look different, but this place in life where it seems like there's this crisis or this shift or something that takes place where everything seems to be turned upside down and we're not quite sure how to move forward and where to go. And oftentimes, as we look up at these walls, at these experiences, they almost seem like they're insurmountable. Like, how could I ever get through this? How could it ever change? How could it ever move forward? Like, I'll never, like, do you see the debt? Like, there's no way I could ever regain my financial footing once again and get out of debt. Or maybe relationally, like, this was so painful. Like, how could I ever rebound from this? How could I ever restore this relationship? Or maybe this sickness, it's like, it's have you heard the diagnosis? It's going to overtake me. I don't know where to turn, or I'll never have that child, or how could I ever get married? Like, I don't see any prospects or what's going on, or it seems like my kid is just gone, or, you know, there's no resuscitating my marriage. There's just too much damage, right? There's no way. And on and on and on. It seems like we, as we look up at these walls, it could be like there's no way I can rebound from this. There's no way I can scale this thing. It's too painful. It's too final. It's just too much to handle. Anybody ever faced like a wall like that or something in life where you come to it and you're just not quite sure how to now proceed? How long will this last? Will it ever end? What am I supposed to do? God, where are you? Where are my instructions, God? So here's what Peter Scazzaro says. He says, we question ourselves, God, the church. We discover for the first time that our faith doesn't seem to work. We have more questions than answers as the very foundation of our faith feels like it's on the line. We don't know where God is, what he's doing, where he's going, how he's getting us there, or even when will this be over. And so you seek God. God, like, what am I supposed to do next? Where are you? What is happening? When will this end? Where? And we begin to ask all these questions. So the Israelites, they ask God, and God gives them these instructions on the wall. So you shall march around the city, all men of war going around once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Rams, that's hard to say. Ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. I don't know why, like, no love for the saxophone, but whatever. And when they get the long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people, the trumpets always get all the, sorry, a lot of marching band wounds coming up here right now. Then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before them. So it's like, okay, God, I'm come up to this wall. Like, what am I supposed to do next? And God's like, join the marching band. It's like, no, like I did that in high school and like I don't want to wear the feather again. Because do you know, God, what it's like to be a 16-year-old boy and wear a feather on your head at a football game with your peers? Like, for Pete's sake, band directors, let them wear a baseball cap or a beanie. It's cold out anyways. Free the feather. Sorry, I have a lot to work through with that whole side of my life. But it's like, no, God, anything but just walking around playing instruments. Like, there's got to be something more you can do. So you're saying, God, like, in order to get through this wall, I have to just walk in circles. Like, now I'm even more confused. Now I'm even more unsure. I already feel like I've been doing that, God. Like, I feel like I've just been circling around, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do otherwise. So, like, you want me just to walk in circles, God. Can you relate to that, though? You know, where you come to this place where you're hurting, you're confused, you're unsure what to do next, and it feels like you're just kind of walking in circles professionally or spiritually or maybe relationally in your health with your pain, all these different things. And it's like, I don't know where to go anymore for my faith. It just feels like I'm circling and I'm cycling around in my job and all these different things. Like, God, help me. Like, give me something more than just walk in circles. So last week I talked about just this battle with anxiety that I had following college, and this was a wall-type moment for me. I was in between churches. There's friends that moved away. I was single and wanted to mingle, but no one wanted to mingle with me. I didn't love my profession. I was dealing with anxiety and loneliness and change and all of these different things and confusion as to what was next, and it just felt like this period of life was like things seemed on one hand to be going well, but on the other hand, it just felt like I was just circling around. So the question then, for all many of us in this case, is like, how long is this wall experience time going to last? Like, if we could just know how long it would take, like, it would be so much easier, right? Like, if you get that diagnosis, it's like, well, you know what, in about a year, you're going to be completely healthy, and you'll be able to move on. Well, it's like, I can handle that. Like, that's not ideal, but maybe I can get through it, because I know there's a specific end point. Or it's like, I know I'm going to get married in 14 months, so like, that's cool. Like, I can just wait and hang out. I know that there's an end coming to this. It's the indefinite period that causes so much more confusion and maybe tension or fear for us. But the thing is, like, waiting isn't so bad. Like, when you know how long you'll wait, I mean, that's why places like Hershey Park put the sign up, like, expect a 45-minute wait, but they exaggerate it, so it only takes 30 minutes, and then you feel like a champion, and it's like, this is the sweetest place on earth. Amen. But this is what, like, when we know when something's going to end, it makes it so much easier, right? But we don't get that timeline, do we, in life? Like, we don't get the, from here, it's going to only take 45 minutes. I mean, Joshua got it. You know, he was told 7 days, but don't you think that the warriors would have felt just absolutely ridiculous on the fifth day? Like, seriously? We're just going to walk around in a circle? This is it? Like, I would have. I'd be like, Josh, like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I'm just walking around in a circle. I've been trained for so much more. I've been trained to be a warrior. Let me storm this wall. Let me just take it down. I know what to do. Why am I just doing this? And this is the thing about the wall, is like we don't know how long we're going to be standing outside or waiting for a breakthrough. And most often, it certainly lasts for more than 7 days, doesn't it? And that can be the frustrating part of this experience, of this wall, of the waiting period of time. I identify with the words, what I imagine they would be saying, where it's like, God, Joshua, I'm trained. I'm trained for more. Don't make me just walk in a circle. And I feel like I've prayed this to God before in these experiences. Like, God, I'm ready to move forward. Like, stop. Like, just let me move forward. Why am I just doing this circle thing? I'm ready to go through the wall. Like, I feel like I'm there. But this period of waiting, this time of becoming at the wall can be one of the most growing experiences in our faith, can it? There's the thing about coming to the wall as well, is like we typically don't just come to one in our life. So oftentimes there's multiple ones, and it could last a day, it could last a month, or it could last years. But here's the thing for us that I want you to know this morning. Like Israel, we don't just come to the wall, but God gets us through these walls. And we see it time and time again throughout Scripture. And this is why I love the story of Scripture so much. I mean, we see Abraham wanting this child, waiting 25 years. And he's given a child. Elijah has all these victories, and then all of a sudden, he experiences kind of oppression, and he just runs and flees, and yet, in the midst of that confusing kind of wall experience for him, God meets him with that still, small voice. Reminder, I'm here. His presence is with us. And this is one of the things that I just find so encouraging as I read throughout the stories of Scripture, is that God uses people time and time again. He brings people not just to these experiences, but then through them. And so we can see, like we sang just before this message, that God is faithful. That time and time again, as we look past, like, God, you got me through that one. You got me through this one. You'll get me through this one that I'm in now. You get me through the next one. God, you are faithful, and you remain to be faithful. So what's it feel like when we come to this place, these wall experiences? Well, of course, they feel dark. It might feel like helpless. Like, I don't know where to go. It might feel weary or tired, or I'm just exhausted, God. Maybe it just feels like your failure or your defeat. Like, it's just this wall, it's insurmountable. Like, there's no way I could get through it. Or it might feel barren or lonely. Like, no one else understands the wall that I'm facing. Maybe this wall experience leaves you feeling empty, like you're just, I got nothing left, or dry spiritually. Like, God, where are you? What once worked now seems stale or just dry. Can you relate to these feelings as we get to these experiences and begin to walk through? So what do we do? How do we not just come to this place, but how do we allow God, or with God, get through these experiences? What can or what does God want to teach us in this waiting time, or in the time to as we walk through in victory? So first of all, when we get to this place, I want to encourage you that it's important that we're honest. We're honest with God. We're honest with others, especially those close to us that we can trust, and with ourselves. Right, so we say, God, you know, I'm in this place, and I'm confused. Scripture is full of these just laments where people crying out in the Psalms, and or we talk to a friend, like, friend, can you walk with me? Like, I don't quite know where God is. Would you help me to find God in the midst of this confusing time of life? I feel like I'm just walking in circles. Will you come alongside me? Because I'm hurting, I'm confused, and I need someone else to walk with me. Or just honest with ourselves. You know what? I've been fighting this for a while, and I'm hurt, I'm tired, and I need the Lord. I think sometimes when we just cover things, we're not even ever allow ourselves to be honest. Or God, I'm angry, I don't want to be, I want to trust in you, but I'm angry, right? I'm unsure, can you help me? Or talk to a friend, like, this feels like this mystery, like, I don't know where to turn, I don't know which direction to take. I need you to sit with me, I need you to be with me, I can't do this on my own. We're just honest with ourselves again, like, I'm sad, like, I want to reach out for help, but I'm not quite sure how or who or what. God, just help me. God, help me. This is a tough time. And so, like we've been talking about throughout this series, there's these things that lie beneath the surface of our lives that we need to allow God to bring to light, because it's in the light. As they expose the light, as they hit the light, as what's dark hits the light, it loses its power, and we find incredible healing. We find God in the midst of this experience. There was a time several years ago where I began to feel burned out in ministry. It was when I was a youth pastor, and that we had experienced some growth, which was just awesome. God was doing some really cool stuff, and so we ended up splitting the youth ministry into high school and middle school. So I now had two nights, basically two youth groups, and we just had Jordan like 2 months before this all happened. And things were going really well, but inside my heart, my life, I was tired, I was worn down, I felt beat up, and I didn't know how to tell anybody. I didn't know what to do. And I remember there was a couple couples who would pray for us, and so they came over to the house and just for a regularly scheduled prayer time, and I told Michelle, I was like, I think I need to just open up here. And I remember just looking across them and saying, here's what's going on. Like, I feel kind of like a failure. Like, I know I shouldn't be feeling this because there's these things, but yet I feel like I've just hit this wall in my spirit, in my ministry, in my life. And just seeing them look back at me and just like just loving me, saying, we're with you. We understand. We're going to walk with you through this. Was incredibly powerful, and I just felt like it began to shift. It began to change as I opened up, and I began, and they helped me to meet with God in that moment. You know, sometimes I think just inviting others in, then we're more able to experience God in that place. And so it was this really powerful time for me where I was able just to receive from others and then experience the peace and the presence of God, and it was very transformative. And so now then, as I walk through experiences like that, I know that God has provided for me in the past, he's provided for me, and he'll provide for me now, and he will in the future. So just cry out to God, invite him in, invite others in, do this in a healthy way. And then here's the part of the story that I love about Jericho. As they walked around this wall, as they were walking in these circles, what were they carrying with them? So read this in verses 6 and 7 of Joshua 6. Joshua, son of Nun, which I just think is just cool. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but that would be awesome. Son of Nun called the priest and said to him, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let the seven priests bear trumpets and saxophones of the ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord." They were carrying with them in the midst of this journey, in the midst of these circles, the Ark of the Lord was with them. And so what is the Ark? The Ark is the visible symbol of the Lord's presence at the very center of the army. In the midst of it all, in the midst of the circles, in the midst of the waiting, in the midst of the quiet, the Lord was with them. He was there. He had promised not just to get them to the wall, but to get them through it. He was with them as they came to the wall. He was with them as they were walking around in circles. He was with them as they looked up at the wall, as they did this day after day. He was there with them. The Lord's promise was there. His promise would be fulfilled, and the same goes for you. And I want you to know God's presence is with you no matter where you are in your journey, whether you're in the midst of the beginning of a wall experience, through the wall experience, before the walls, God is with you. No matter where you are, God's presence is there. And so once you acknowledge these feelings I was talking about, we ought to not ask the question, okay, when will this end? But instead, God, show me where you are and what you want me to learn and how you want me to grow and how you want to redeem this situation or restore me. Renew the depth of my soul, God, because I know that you are with me. And we gaze then once again with just awe and wonder that the fact that the presence of God, the Almighty God, is with us in this intimate, personal way, together in community as well as individually, it's just powerful. And I pray this morning that as we think about the presence of God, it just wouldn't be this kind of church term or this thing that Chad is saying, but it would capture our attention, it would capture our awe and our wonder, and we would just be blown away by the truth that God is with us each and every day, no matter what we're walking through. And we would just gaze at him in wonder and in amazement that the God of the universe cares enough to walk with me through my big or little wall, no matter what it is, that he is there with me through the entire time. And if there's anything that you can walk away from this sermon with, it's that. It's that God would capture your wonder, capture your imagination, capture your attention, capture your devotion, that everything, that you just gaze at him and be like, God, this is mind-blowing. Your presence is here with me wherever I go. And God, help me not to forget that. Because it's so easy to forget it as we go throughout our days. But God's presence is there, walking us through the greatest successes and the lowest of lows, that he is there with us. And I know that, you know, if you've walked through something that's just terribly difficult just recently, and you don't know how to make sense of it, I just want you to experience the peace and the presence and just the affection of God and his love at this time. I know all this other stuff may not make quite sense in the midst of what you're walking through, but I just pray that God's presence would just overwhelm you. We just feel a peace that you can't explain. You may not be able to make sense of everything right now, but that you would just know that there is a God that loves you and will help you get through this. And you don't need to even figure out how that's going to happen right now. Just rest in his presence. So moving forward, James 1, this is the verse Kenton read. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness then have its full effect. As we walk through these experiences, we focus on the presence of God. We allow him to transform and change us and mold us to get down to those deep, deep iceberg parts of our life and to change us and refine us and renew us and restore us, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So then we can look back and have joy in the midst of these difficult situations because of what it does. what God has done. So let this have its full effect. The NIV says, so that you may become mature and complete. So these walls, these experiences that we have, they're important for us as we walk along our spiritual journey of life, as we continue to grow closer and closer to Him. They're not easy to do. We don't want to do them, but to anybody that's walked through one, two, three, a dozen, or a baker's dozen, recognize like how important these experiences, these times have been, as we just cry out to God, God, all, and recognize all I need is your presence. All I need is you. So the walls of Jericho would fall down and Israel would take the city, but what did they learn? Well, they learned this. They learned that it couldn't be done their way, because that would not have been the plan that they drew up in the warrior's tent or whatever. But that for them to walk into the promised land, it would have to be by the Lord's leading. They also were able to recognize that God fulfilled his promises, and it wasn't their strength that fulfilled the promise. It was God's strength, because they couldn't knock down a wall by walking around it with a horn on their own. It was only by God's strength. And so it showed them that God would fulfill his promises to them. He would be faithful. And then it caused them just to worship God. Because who else could do this? Who else could fulfill this plan but God? And so we respond then in worship to him. Think about how much they would have missed out if they had just come up to Jericho and just waltzed right in, set up shop, and there was nothing. Like, it just, all of a sudden, there it was. Like, do you see how these experiences make us grow, help us grow? And oftentimes, we want just the quick, easy way, right? But they would have missed out on so much. They would have taken credit for themselves, right? So then what happens on the other side of the wall as we go through this wall? I just want to paint a picture. So if you're in this experience, there's some hope for what's next. First thing is that there's an understanding of brokenness. When you've been through it, when you know what it takes to get through a wall, you understand what it means to feel like you're at the end of your rope, you're helpless, you're tired, and yet you've seen God provide for you and meet you there in the midst of everything. So therefore, you don't just categorize or put people in these little boxes when you see them, or maybe the way they're acting, because you know what it's like to be there. And so you love them, and you know what it's like to get through these experiences. So you respond in compassion and love and help point people to Jesus Christ. Jesus says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This bankrupt in spirit. Like when we hit rock bottom, blessed are those, because then you experience the truth that his presence, that God is all we truly need, that you don't need anything else other than him. And so as we walk through these experiences, you understand what brokenness means. You see the pain in people instead of labeling them. People who have walked through these experiences through the wall are greater prepared to go on mission, because there's a greater passion for people to find life because you found it. The mission becomes about healing people and people experiencing the hope and love of Jesus Christ and pulling them into that versus just like, well, I'm supposed to do this thing. Second thing is there's this greater appreciation for childlike faith. So we don't just follow God because everything seems to be working out, or because we know all the different steps. So the closer and closer that I get to the Lord, the more I feel like I know him, the more I realize that I don't fully understand or comprehend everything. God is enormous. I don't know exactly where tomorrow will lead, but I trust him because I get to know him, who he is. Because of his presence, because of his love, because it's so overwhelming, so close, so intimate, because he's met me in the dark places. I know he's good, and I can trust in him. So even if I don't understand everything that's happened, I see his character in the midst of it, I see his goodness, and I'm able to grow through these mysteries, through these confusing times of life. So as we walk through these experiences, we're more able to respond with childlike faith. So many of you know my daughter, Taya, our third daughter. She's 3, and she makes me feel like $1 million all the time. Because when she sees me, like when I get home or when she comes in on Sunday morning, she sees me and she runs to me and she cries, "My daddy, my daddy's here, my daddy's home." She announces for everybody. And the thing I was thinking about is, like, she doesn't know everything about me. She doesn't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. She doesn't know what I'm processing. She doesn't know where I've been. She doesn't know what I've walked through that day or where I intend to go through tomorrow. There's this mystery. There's not a complete understanding of who I am and all these things. There's so much more unknown to her, but she just loves me, and she runs to me. She says, "My daddy is here, and the fact that I am there is enough for her." And the more intimate and the closer I grow in my relationship with God, the more I feel like I want to respond like that. Like, I don't need to know everything, but my daddy's here. He's with me. My daddy's here. And that's enough. God's presence is with me wherever I go. The third thing is this, that there's this deeper ability to wait on God. When you've been through it, when you've waited, you have a greater ability to walk through and wait once again because you've seen how God has provided. You've seen his presence in this waiting room of life, in this uncertain time. You've seen him there, and so you're able to greater await for him in future times or in the time that you're in right now. So like I was saying, the first time I got overwhelmed with life and ministry, it was huge for me. When will this go away? What will happen? Now, in those times, I remind myself, I'm able to see God's presence was there. You walked me through that. You restored me through that. You gave me encouragement in that time. You'll do it again, God, and I can trust that you'll do it again and again and again. I think of it like these early newborn days. For any of you that have had children, with Jordan, our oldest daughter, I wasn't sure if I would ever sleep again in my life, or if this may not just be the end of me. And you won't, if you're a new parent. Until you have grandchildren, apparently. But with Taya, with our third daughter, like, you know, even though there was, like, the nights we were up, it just didn't stress me as much. Because, like, I knew this would end. I've been through it. I'm able to trust that I'll be able to get through this. God has gotten me through it before. And we weren't as worried about it because we had walked through it. And so as we walk through these wall experiences, the next one, there's this deeper ability to wait on God and trust that he's going to be pulling you through. And so we can say what the psalmist says is in Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I hope. My soul waits on the Lord. And then the last one is this sense of greater freedom. That getting through these helps us to walk through life with a greater freedom, embracing life with the Lord instead of looking to the things of this world to satisfy. In other words, we realize that this thing of this world are futile. They won't satisfy. Only God will. And we see the temporary nature of things, that our stuff doesn't matter. Our stuff will not help us get through these deep, dark places. Only God will help us get through these walls in life. So a new house, a new car, those things are great. And we, you know, sometimes we're blessed with those, but it's not going to help you get through the wall. Only God will help us get through the wall. And so as we've walked through this, we begin to then see things from a more heavenly, eternal perspective rather than an earthly one, which gives us incredible freedom in life. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, at the end, he says, the world, you see it, is on its way out. And I want you to live as free of complications as possible. We can live with this eternal, heavenly perspective and produces great freedom. There's many things in this world that are great, but they're all going to fade away. But heaven will not. God will not. His presence will not. His presence, he is with us through all these things. And he is who we need in the midst of all these times. And so going through these puts everything into perspective. I want to read for you something from a book. I like to sometimes read stories of the persecuted church because, one, I just think it's important for me as a follower of Christ to know what my brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing, to pray for them, to support them in my prayers, and just to know. And also, the other thing is it emboldens my faith more than you can imagine by reading these stories of people who have gone through it and met with the Lord powerfully and walk faithfully and boldly despite not having hardly anything. So there's a man, this book is called Fleeing ISIS, Finding Jesus, and it's a reporter who went over to Iraq and just was interviewing Christians who've had to flee ISIS and tells their stories. It's really, really powerful. And so there's all these different stories. So the part I want to read is from a man named Father Douglas, who's a Chaldean priest, and he was in Erbil, it's just in Iraq, Kurdistan, and he talks about welcoming people into their town, into their faith, into their city, who are fleeing persecution, whether they're Christian or not. And here's what he says. He says, I'm an Armenian. Since the genocide against my people in 1915, we've been attacked 8 more times, so over 100 years, 8 attacks. It's helped us that it's our duty then to help people. My grandmother helped Kurdish people when we were being persecuted by the Turks in 1937. She gave them clothes and crosses and let them pretend to be Christians just to avoid capture. To each of these IDPs, or internally displaced persons, which there are tens of millions around the world, as they arrived, I said, thank you for coming to us. We help each other because we know what it's like to be persecuted, and we know that it's a privilege to help. And then here's the quote that I really want you to hear. All the world, this is this Father Douglas, all the world thinks that ISIS took everything. It's not true. We took everything from them. So they took our houses, but we are one home, one land, one place. They took our churches, but now we are one church. They covered their faces, we were able to shine. We have nothing to feel guilty about, nothing to hide. No one can touch our joy. No one can touch our faith. Because we don't belong to the land. We belong to Jesus. And this is the line. Wherever we have Jesus, we have the promised land. It's a powerful perspective of someone that's been through a wall that hopefully none of us will have to go through. But walking through those gives us a totally different perspective. You can't take anything from me. You can't even take my life because I have eternal life with God. You can't take anything. And so these experiences, as we meet with God, as we allow God to refine us, as we allow God's presence to overwhelm us in these wall experiences, we walk through these walls, we come out different. We have a different perspective. We're able to wait. We have this childlike wonder and faith with God. It's powerful. And we understand what brokenness is, and we're able to respond in mission. I mean, you heard that in that story. We help everybody because we know what it's like. So I'm going to have the band come forward. I want us to respond this morning. There's a prayer, and then we're going to sing that song again that Michelle led us in. Just about the reminder of God's doing it again and again. And what I'd like you just to, no matter where you're at this morning, if you're in the midst of one of these experiences that feels confusing and overwhelming and tiring, my prayer is that you would just recognize God's presence in your life. And if I could leave you with one thing, and that's to think and pray and to be aware of God's presence throughout your week, that would be the thing that I would leave you with, because I think it's just so powerful. We're not on our own. God is with us, and so it gives us a greater ability to wait. It gives us a greater awareness of brokenness. It gives us an understanding for who he is and his love. And it changes our perspective. And this is what I want for us. I want us to know that he is truly enough, no matter what you're walking through. And I don't want that just to sound like empty church speak. Like, oh, you're just oversimplifying everything. If that's what you hear, I'd love just to talk with you and listen to you, because that's not at all what I'm trying to say. But what I do want us to know is just how amazing God's presence is. And we can look to him, we can trust in him, that he is faithful, he is faithful, he is good, he loves you, he's with you. You're not alone. He knows what it's like to walk through these experiences. We're going to look at that next week. God's presence is powerful, and I pray that it would transform us. So as I'm just going to have you sit there, and there's a prayer on the screen. If you would just pray this with me, it'd be awesome. Heavenly Father, teach me to trust you, even when I do not know where you are going. You can say it with me. Help me to surrender and not turn inward into myself out of fear. The storms and winds of life blow strongly all around me. I cannot see in front of me. Sometimes I feel like I am going to drown. Lord, you are centered, utterly at rest and peace. Open my eyes and I might see that you are with me on the boat and I am safe. Awaken me, Jesus, to your presence within me, around me, above me, and below me. Grant me grace to follow you into the unknown, into the next place in my journey with you. In your name, amen. Let's focus on his presence as we sing these last songs. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me? If you'd like to pray, the prayer team will be in the back and would love to pray with you. But otherwise, let's just sing these songs and let's capture a wonder for who God is.